God, I want to set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big for me, the best for others, especially let go of all my old ideas so I can experience your truth. God, help me carry your message tonight. Amen. Amen. Tonight we're going to cover the most important paragraph in the big book that's changed my life. 66 and 67 are three or four paragraphs that have changed my life, and I talked about those Sunday, how we get free of anger. Tonight we're going to read about how I stay in the world of the Spirit with God and the tools, and I think it's eight lines that tells me how to do that. Now then I've been studying the scriptures. The scriptures tell me I have to walk in the light, walk with God, serve Him, trust Him. But the big book tells me in a few short sentences how I can do that. And so I'm gonna go to page 83, and I'm gonna read the promises once again, because they relate to how we stay in the world of the Spirit. If we're painstaking about this phase, and we're page 83, we will be amazed before we're halfway through step 9. We start receiving these gifts from God. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. Anybody want that? Not regret the past nor wish to shut on it, door on it. Comprehend the word serenity, and I will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity disappears. Just disappears. What are you doing when it disappears? We will lose interest in selfish things. You just lose interest and you gain interest. How do you do that? Self-seeking slips away. What happens? Does it just fall out of your hand? Our whole attitude and outlook will change. What day does that happen? You see, these are spiritual gifts that appear from our relationship with God. Fear of people and economic security will leave me. I will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. And I suddenly realize, it appears that I can see that God is doing for me what I cannot do for myself. Now we read these and we say, are these extravagant promises? Everybody chants, oh, we think not, and all that crap. We think not. Here's the deal. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. What determines if the promises are quick or slow? Me. Am I doing the work? Does God say, no, it's going to take a while, Michael, take your time to have a relationship with me? No. I'm the one that determines if it's quick or slow. And if it's too slow, what happens? I may drink before they come true. How much time do I have when I come in here the first day to get a relationship with God that can give me the power not to drink? Think about it. Step zero is when you're defeated and you don't have a relationship with God yet. How many steps do you need to do that? 12. And so we're going to read tonight about 10, 11, and then 12 is where we work with others, practice the principles in our affairs, which is essentially do the whole deal all the time. Now here's the deal. It says they will always materialize. They just appear. You're not sitting in your chair one day and you say, okay, I've done the steps, I'm going to get the promises today. It's not how God works. It's a relationship. It appears. Materialize. If I work for them. Now here's the deal. It says, this thought brings us to step 10. What's the thought? If you want to have the promises, they will materialize if you do the work for them all the time. And if not, they're going to go away. So do you think you know serenity and peace and then you just have it the rest of your life? Well, we know that's not true. It comes and goes. So I will have serenity and peace if I do the work. So this thought brings us to step 10. Step 10 is how I keep the promises in my life every day, all the time. Step 10 is where I learn how to live with God every day. And if I do that, I am recovered. I won't have an obsession to drink or use, and God will give me a power to say no. Anybody think that's a good idea? Now, I really believe reading this paragraph, you could start You could start what we're going to talk about tonight right now, even if you haven't, quote, done all the steps with your sponsor. But if you have a sponsor and people get pissed off, it won't be the first time I'll make a resentment list. I don't think people should screw around. They need to get into the steps as quick as possible. How long does it take to admit you're powerless over alcohol? You've lived it. If your life isn't unmanageable, you're in the wrong place, right? People don't come here because their lives are great. They don't wake up and say, I'm going to go and hear Dr. Mike tonight because I want to get grow spiritually. That doesn't happen. How long does it take to believe that there is a power that can help you? You see it in the room. We heard it tonight. The birthdays sent were great. How long does it take to decide that I'm going to fire myself and I'm going to have God manage my life because it's better than me? How long does that take? 20 minutes? And then step four, you just do the work. We go through the instructions. Now, I must admit, you really need to think through the first three steps, but you live the first three steps, and then you make the decision. And then it says it will have little permanent effect unless at once followed by an effort to face and be rid of the things that are blocking me. Now, four through nine. Now, step 10 is where we look all day long at when we're getting blocked, so we get unblocked. When we're unblocked, the promises come true. When we're blocked, they don't come true. We were reading tonight that when we became an alcoholic, crushed by a self-imposed crisis, we could not postpone or evade. I had to face the question, God is everything or nothing, right? Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Every crisis I have today is self-imposed. Good work, Michael. And why are they self-imposed? Because I'm choosing me and not God. And self-reliance will always fail me. And then I get afraid. Anybody get afraid? And then I get angry. And then guess where I am? Disturbed, separated from God. And so if I want the promises to materialize, if I want to have a relationship with God, I have to work at it all the time. Step 10 is not a maintenance step. It's a step where we're continuing to get in fit spiritual conditions so we will react fit spiritually to any situation that happens. Now, what happens if you're not in fit spiritual condition and something happens during the day? Well, you get all pissy-wissy. Any pissy-wissies in here? Yeah, we get upset, disturbed. It could be a mouse turd, but we'll po-vot over it. You know, we create self-imposed crises all the time. Remember it says, when we take a tapestry of my life and I put it up on the wall and I look at it, it's woven through with a corrosive thread of fear. Why do I fear? I'm relying on myself. I'm saying God is nothing. And so we're going to look now at the promises come true when I'm continuing to work the steps. So it says step 10 suggests, this is like suggesting a parachute if you're going to jump out of the plane. What do they suggest? That I continue to take personal inventory. I'm going to inventory my personality all the time. I'm not going to look in the mirror and say, oh, I need to lose 5 pounds or get my hair cut. No, we're not doing that kind of inventory. We're inventorying my thinking all day long. Now, I have an advantage in step 10 that I didn't have when I came in here. I've done work in step 1 through 9. I've learned how to say the prayers for fear and anger. God is doing for me what I cannot do for myself, and I have God now each day with me to help me watch. So I can watch my personality now with God. And God will say, Michael, you're drifting away. Now, he doesn't say that. What he does is he lets me get a little disturbed. And then I say, wow, I need to get back to you. Because it ends, the instructions on steps 1 through 1, and God disciplines us. How does God discipline me? He lets me separate and have a self-imposed crisis. Then he watches me and laughs. There you go again, Michael. How's that working for you? So I take my inventory, my thinking, all the time, and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. Now, I used to think that this means if I drive too fast, I call the police and tell them I went 65 and 60. Or you're honest about everything you do. It may mean that. But you're going to set right any new mistakes in your thinking. And you're going to have mistakes in your thoughts and then your thoughts will lead to mistakes in your actions. And you're going to inventory that all the time. And it doesn't say you might want to do this. If you want them to materialize, you're going to have to do this. We vigorously, notice the word vigorously, commence this way of living. It's a way of life. We're constantly looking at my thinking and my actions and getting back to God. Anybody want to do that? Now, as you cleaned up the past, the steps 4 through 9, so you never get through your 9th step. It's never perfect. There's always amends you need to make and you can't make, or they're not the right time. And when they come up, you'll make them. And here's the key. I have entered the world of the Spirit. So if you want to live with God each day and leave the world that you created, where your life was unmanageable, and you move now through the steps into the world where God is, that's the real world. We lived in a world we created, remember? And it wasn't real. I was running the show. Anybody else do that? And I was the actor running the show, and my life was a mess. Now I'm in the world of the Spirit where I belong. Why is the world of the Spirit a good place? Because God's the director there, and I work for Him. And all I have to do in the world of the Spirit is stay close to Him and do His work well, and I'll be okay. So when we come in here, we don't realize that our problem is we're in the wrong world. We should tell the new person, good job. You're in the world you created. Fire yourself. Work the steps. Enjoy the real world. Now, how do I leave the world of the Spirit if it's the world where God is and everybody's in it? In my mind, I decide I'm in charge. So Chuck C. said, we have one problem, conscious separation from God, and one solution, conscious contact. How do I separate from God? I decide I'm in charge. And I do it subconsciously. You get bothered. You know, why'd she say that to me? You know, is she ever going to shut up? You know how it is. Well, you know, something bothers you. You're playing God. And you do it. And you see, that's the water we swam in when we came in here. So it's hard to get out of that pool. But you see, this card tells me what it looked like. It wasn't pretty, right? And I want to live on the other side. If I'm in the world of the Spirit with God in the now, these are true. And the only place the world of the Spirit is right now. Now, I'm either here with God or I'm in my mind. And if I'm in my mind, I'm either in fear or anger. I'm not in the now. So the world of the Spirit is a really precarious, it's hard to stay there. But it's the only place where you can have peace, where you can have God direct your life. So we do all this talk, oh, I take it back and gave it to God. You hear all this stuff. No, you just left the world of the Spirit. Good job. And until you get back into the now, where you're at peace and undisturbed, you're going to be disturbed. So we enter the world of the Spirit, which is the real world. Now, they could have said Holy Spirit. They decide to make it a non-denominational book. But that's what they were talking about, really, because it follows the scriptures, remember? But it doesn't have to be a Christian world. It's whatever world your Creator lives in. And so you live with your Creator. Our next function, so my function in the world of the Spirit, I've entered the world of the Spirit, is to grow in understanding and effectiveness of this world. I want to understand this world and how it works and be effective in it. And I want to stay in this world. I don't want to go back to my world. Now, there's a warning that should be put right here. It's hard to stay in the world of the Spirit. But we have the option of getting back. Now, that's why I like the prodigal son parable, because it's the whole deal about AA and alcoholics and the whole program. Because the prodigal son decides to leave dad's house. He wants to go his own way. How'd that work for him? He ends up in the pig pen. Not a good place. And he's in the pig pen for a long time before he realizes it. And he says something. They said, well, you've been here a long time. And he says, you know, I was better off in my father's house, even as a slave, than I'm in the pig pen. I better get back to dad. So we say that. Jim Allen described it. And in the 10th step, we say that every day. I'm back in the pig pen. I want to get back to dad. And here's the deal. God comes running to me. As soon as I turned to God, the Father was running to the Son. We don't have to, God doesn't make too hard turns for those who seek Him. You've heard that, right? The road's broad, the highway's broad. All we have to do is turn away from ourselves and start moving to God, and He grabs us. He makes it easy for us, but we have to turn. He won't turn it. And it says, so I want to be effective in this world. I want to be able to do His will and stay in it. It says, guess what? This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for a lifetime. Now, here they're going to tell us what to watch for during the day. Then on the next page in step 11, they're going to tell us to watch for the same things at night. We're going to look and see how we did. How did we do in the world of the Spirit, or did we go into your world? And we're going to inventory that night. Now we're going to inventory during the day. Now, I heard a lot of people at meetings, oh, I'm sober, I don't like to work the steps, blah, blah, blah. You hear all this stuff. I don't know how anybody has any kind of peace unless they do the next four or five lines. Because I don't have any power on my own to stay in the now with God. I keep leaving it. It says, continue to watch. You're going to watch with God. So I'm going to watch all day long. When I see selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, or fear, and I put in consideration. Now, how do I know when I'm selfish? Well, I'm thinking of myself and what I need and how it relates to what I think I want. I'm dishonest usually about my motives, or I'm lying about something to get my way. Am I angry, resentful, disturbed, or am I afraid? And I watch for that. With God. Now, if I'm watching with God, I'm aware. We talk about a spiritual awakening. You've heard of that, right? Well, what's a spiritual awakening? I'm aware when I separate from God. Now, before I had the spiritual awakening, I was just angry and fearful and selfish and dishonest, and that's the way it was, and it was all their fault, right? But if I'm in the world of the Spirit with God, I watch for me, moving away from Him. It's not hard to do. You watch. Now, here's the key line. When these crop up, I don't wait for a harvest. When the wheat starts to make a little thing, I want to snuff it out. Now, what do they mean by that? When it crops up, when I start to feel it, I'm with God, I start to get a little disturbed, a little anxious. Now, we're going to read on the next page, in page 87, as we go throughout the day, I pause when agitated or doubtful. That means fearful or angry. I pause. Pause to do what? With God, I'm watching. I'm fearful or angry. I pause, and then I ask God for the right thought or action. Here it says very simple. When it crops up, I ask God. That's a prayer. And when you ask God with humility, it will be done. He will do it. That's what Scripture says. The word ask is powerful. And that's what they don't say pray in the big book, they say ask. And he did that because that's from the book of James, and it's very powerful. So I ask God at once to remove them. Now, do I say, no, God, I want to be disturbed for a while. Let's remove it at 10 o'clock. Well, that won't work. So Sandy Beach likes to say we ask God at once to remove them. He says, anybody do that? But you see, after a while, when you're in the program a while, I don't like to be disturbed. So I try to ask God at once to remove it. Now I'm an alcoholic, so sometimes I'll be a little disturbed. I won't realize that I'm down that path. I have to stop and say, oh, that's ridiculous. Let's get back. Ask God at once to remove them. Now, I guarantee you, when you ask Him, it'll be removed. Now, sometimes it won't be removed. You know why? Because you haven't really asked with humility, and you haven't really wanted it to be removed. And it says, so these are the instructions. I have an acronym, WADAT, W-A-D-A-T. So we watch, and then we ask. Now, watching without asking won't make your day better. You just watch yourself being disturbed. It's like watching a movie. Oh, there I go again. And then it says, I discuss them with someone immediately. Why? I need to know the truth. Now, sometimes when I watch and I ask God at once, they're gone. But if they're not gone right away, I better ask somebody and see the truth about it. Because remember, when it's in my head, I can't see the truth. It's in my mind. It's in my sick mind. The ego can't see the ego's problems. And so you discuss it with someone immediately. You call someone. I had someone call me today. It actually made me chuckle. It wasn't funny, but he was disturbed. He had to talk to me right away. And he was disturbed. He has 3 months, and he's traveling out of town for a job, and he hates where he's staying, and he hates the job, and he hates the people he works with and works for, and it's so horrible, and blah, blah, blah. I said, well, I bet you liked the job when you were drinking, because you could drink every night. You're on the road. Nobody cares. He said, yeah, I really liked it. And now that I'm not drinking, I'm bored. I said, and didn't we talk about getting a new job? Yes. I said, so who's decided that you hate the place you live in, you're working at? Who decided you hate the people you work with? And they're stupid. I said, why don't you say, I'm glad I have a job, and I'm glad I'm here, and how can I serve you, God, today at work and be loving and kind and helpful? I said, you don't have pancreas cancer in the hospice, do you? No. You haven't had all your legs amputated and you're going blind. No. You're just in self. I said, you called the wrong person. Yeah. Stop the self-pity song right now. And I said, now, I want you to write 10 things you're grateful for and call me back in 15 minutes. And he's better. But I said, now, there's a lesson. You can be sober 10 years, you're going to have these days. You have to watch for it. It can be subtle. See, in the beginning, they're all big things. Mm-hmm. But when you're sober a while, it could be little things that bother you. You know? And so, discuss them with someone immediately so you can see the truth. And don't send the text when you're upset. Discuss it. And pause. And keep your mouth shut. If it's at home, keep your mouth shut. And don't say anything. And say the prayers and ask God to change how you see things. And then make amends quickly if you've harmed someone. Now, there's something they left out of the big book. Don't report me to New York, because I said they left it out. But I say forgive. Mm-hmm. Forgive right away. Whatever it is, forgive and make amends. It's implied. Forgive and make amends quickly so you're done. You're not carrying anything. Now, at 10 o'clock, if you're watching, at 12 o'clock, you don't want to still be disturbed. You want to stop at 10 o'clock. Then here's the key. Resolutely. What does that mean? Well, I may want to do this. No. Resolutely, with all the power within you, I'm going to turn my sick, crappy mind away from all that to who I can help. It's pretty simple. You're disturbed. You're in your crap. You ask God at once to remove them. You discuss it once something. You make amends right away, and you turn your thoughts away from all that nonsense to who you can help. And if you're thinking of who you can help, you're with God in the now. If you haven't turned your thoughts, you're still in your world. You want to live in your world. Now, if you're in the world of the Spirit, you're constantly thinking of serving God and others. Isn't that our purpose? You see how it works? How many lines? How many words? And then here's the key. Love and tolerance of others is our code of living. All the time. Every moment. Now, I heard this witty phrase, and I repeated it a while because I think I'm funny. And it said, you love the people that are lovable, and you tolerate those you can't manage to love. But I think that's true. I think you love everybody. And what tolerance is to me, it's changed. It's an engineering term. Of the tolerance of a material before it heats up or it melts, breaks down. So I think tolerance is something that God gives me so people can be annoying or whoever they are and I don't have to be annoyed. It's a block between what's going on and my negative reaction to it. It's tolerance. It's a gift from God. God give me tolerance so that no matter what happens, I can be loving to them. It's a gift. And the more we ask for the tolerance, you see, the tolerance has nothing to do with them. It's, do I disturb? How much does it take for them to melt me down? And so if I'm have a high tolerance, they can do almost anything, and I'm okay with it. I don't know if that makes sense. But tolerance is for me. It's not for them. I always thought I have to tolerate them. No, tolerance is to protect me from getting disturbed by human beings. And so that's it. Anybody think that's a good paragraph? It's the whole deal. It was only 24 minutes, so we've got a little bit of time. We had a lot of birthdays for those listening to the podcast. So I'm going to pick up next week. We're going to read the Recovered Promises on page 84 and 85. All right, thanks, guys.